Denny Wilder from the Nine Network's coming up. And last night he spoke with Tony Mestrov in his story on Nine News. Let's take a listen and then we'll speak to Denny.
I don't think we've got a split team on our hands. I think we've got a team that are hurting in some way. I thought the team that went out on Thursday did an amazing job. And obviously we're going to see the players that didn't play come back. So I don't think it's split. I think some players feel hurt in all different ways, including the players that didn't play.
So you're not concerned that the players won't be able to get along from this point?
I'm not concerned. Look, I'm not saying they're not hurting. I'm not saying that there might be some differing opinions, but that's what a team's all about. It's about bringing that together.
From the Nine Network, Denny Wilder, good morning.
Morning, gents. Well, it wasn't really a flat denial of some issues in the Manly squad, was it? I mean, there's hurt, there's blokes having differing opinions. It doesn't sound necessarily smooth sailing. But, guys, I can tell you I've been in contact with people from the Manly Seven, and they're saying that things are actually in a good place. So that's developing. So I'm taking it, those people on their word that they feel like things are progressing and things are actually in a good place now. A little bit different to what Tony Mestrov was saying. Bulldog, I'm sure you've got a lot of intel coming out of Manly there, so a club you're close to. I mean, are you hearing similar or not?
Danny, I think you're spot on with the Manly Seven. I think it's the players that played. They're the ones that have got the main issue. The mail I keep hearing is, you know, it's varying depending on who you talk to, but you know, there is issues there, or there are issues, I should say, and that, you know, one meeting may not be enough just to fix it, Danny. As I said to Laurie before on air in the middle, there's no giving this argument. Everyone is staying quite staunch, and you know, those that have the beliefs either way aren't really sort of giving up any ground.
It's interesting. I think there was a mediator was brought in, and that's someone who obviously will try and get the two sides together. I mean, it's probably wrong to call them two sides, but maybe two groups together. I could understand from each perspective why there would be tension. And I think that Bulldog, people like you and me and others who are asking questions probably only make it a worse situation, doesn't it? Because it keeps bringing it up and keeps highlighting it. But I was really impressed with Tony Mestrov. You guys that all know him well. But geez, he's an impressive character. He used the line, he's going to make Manly great again. So he's
just... got the Donald Trump hat.
You'd love that, Bulldog. That's right up your alley.
What happened? You should have had the hat with you in the back page of the paper. See, that's why you didn't get the back page.
Right, okay.
You needed the photo. As Buzz has always said, get the bloody photo.
I'll pass on your advice to our editors.
I like Laurie's advice. It's good.
Hey, Danny, I spoke to Tony myself yesterday. He is impressive. He will be a good appointment. He's a straight shooter. And I guess the key here will be the relationship he builds with Dez, because obviously Dez is a very influential figure at Manly, but they had coffee down at Narrabeen last Saturday, so it sounds like the relationship between those two is off to a solid start.
That's the number one relationship, isn't it? Because Dez runs Manly. Let's not muck around. He is a man who runs that club, and he's been doing that for some time. Now it's going to be interesting to see whether he's going to take some direction from Tony Mestrov, because I think they played together
92.
At one point. Yeah, and that's a long time ago, but they played together, and I think that Tony would understand Dez, and Dez is a not in a bad way, but he's someone who likes to control things and he likes things to be his way. So it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that, how they manage his contract, because there's more clauses in his contract than most coaching contracts, because you know, he was picked up by Manly at a time when probably Dez's stocks weren't high, so Manly were able to influence the way his contract was structured. And there has been lengthy negotiations going on previously with Stephen Humphreys to try and remove clauses. I asked Tony yesterday whether those clauses would be removed. And he said, we're not going to, you know, put our private business out in public, which is a bit different to what they've done in the past, he said. So he's, I think there will be ongoing talks to try and restructure Dez's contract, because there are all these performance parts to it where he has to win certain, or has to finish in certain places to trigger extensions. And I don't think Dez likes that. And I think that he'll be pushing hard to get to remove those kind of clauses from his contract. So it's going to be, I'd call it almost a shift in power with Tony coming there. Whether Dez will stomach that, I'm not quite sure. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. I think you know Dez Hasler really well, and you know how he operates, Bulldog.
Yeah, and I think that Dez is... I just can't see Dez not being there at the end of next year. Now, whether... I think he'll be there for another couple of seasons at least, but the dynamic between the CEO and the coach certainly needs to work. But what about all this controversy with the Nelson Asofa Solomona tackle, Denny? Where did you stand on it?
Oh, I can't make sense of it. I respect all of the people who are making these decisions, and I respect the match review committee. I just find it bewildering. Minimal contact is the line we're given regarding Nelson Asofa Solomona and that tackle. Now, I know there are other ways to damage your teeth in a tackle, but to me, is it just a coincidence it happened in that tackle? I don't know. I find it... I watch that tackle and I listen to explanations and my head spins. I don't know how you guys are processing it, but I find it really hard to understand.
I think we all agree that he should have at least got 1 or 2 weeks, at least.
Joey said 4 months.
4 months? Yeah, I don't think I would have went that far.
Joey does get a bit excited.
No, but I understand where he's coming from, because I think the frustration is obviously there when you're trying to look at why people are charged and why they're not charged, and then you see one that looks like he should be spending time on the sideline and it doesn't happen. It just leaves everyone a little bit confused.
Well, the suits at the NRL have been doing their best to spin everything and try and explain things to us. But I listen to the explanations and I find them to be just words, not really making a lot of sense to me. And I don't know how much sense they're making to a lot of people out there. Bulldog, you've covered thousands of judiciary hearings and you've seen these things. You're an expert in that area. I'd imagine you'd have some strong opinions on where, how they explained it.
Yeah, look, I'm with Laurie, Danny. It was certainly a week or two. I thought it was a fairly clear cut. Some of the decisions coming out of there at the moment are bewildering. What about this one then, Danny? 5 weeks for Nathan Cleary and 5 weeks for Corey Waddell. Look, apples, it's apples and oranges. I get that. They're different charges. I do. But to pass the pub test, it seemed like an inconsistency there. And I've got to be honest, Danny, I don't know about you, but I thought 5 weeks for Nathan was about right. I'm a bit astounded that some people think it was excessive. Nathan's a leader. He's an ambassador. He's a champion player. But it was a bad tackle. And I reckon they got it right with five, if not even six.
Look, I can't argue five. I think that it was everybody loves Nathan Cleary, respects him as a player, one of the smartest players in rugby league, and he's someone who is very conscious of everything he does. He practices everything, and he obviously made a mistake in that tackle. It could have been really bad, and I think that he had to get 5 weeks. It just... There is no... I think Nathan would accept that himself. I know Ivan said yesterday, he thought it was a bit tough, but I don't think... There was no value in Penrith challenging it and suddenly, somehow he got 6 weeks and then he misses a final. So I think that 5 weeks is fine.
The thing with me on that tackle, Denny, and I agree five weeks is the right penalty, is the fact that he didn't need to do that second grab. and put his arm between his legs. Or, you know, I think if that didn't happen, you can, you know, and you drive in with your shoulder and someone is involved in the upper part of the body and you're tackling around the waist and you drive and lift, I can see how that could go wrong and you get a lesser penalty for that. But the fact was they had him and then he had that second attempt and put his arm in between his leg and then lifted and went on with the tackle. I think that's the reason why he was charged with
a
grade three.
It was just a classic tackle and, like, classic spear tackle. And unfortunately, it's not the very worst one we've ever seen by a long stretch, but it was a bad one.
Yeah, and you've got to get rid of these tackles. They're the bad tackles. They can be catastrophic, so that's why you've got to get rid of them.
Cannot have them. And Nathan regretted it from the moment he did it. With the Corey Waddell one, I just don't understand that at all. I don't personally think it was an eye gouge.
No, neither do I.
And I know
it was a raking motion, Daddy, and you stay away from the eyes. We know that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the true sense of an eye gouge. I thought five works incredibly excessive.
Like, and it, like you top, you put that on top of Dale Finucane's one. I know you can't say it because you labelled a dinosaur or a buffhead, but I just don't know the way that some of the decisions are happening. I don't understand them. I don't know if we're watching a different game now to what to one that Laurie played, obviously. It feels a little bit foreign, I think that it often gets described as the a match review committee lotto, and you don't know which way it's going to come down. You know, it's very hard to predict, and it's a major issue for the game. It's a serious issue for the game, and I know the guys in there are doing their very best, but gee, that it feels like if you took it to, like, I think we all talk about consistency and common sense, and I think that there needs to be more of that.
Danny, the Newcastle Knights, I'm just calling up the competition ladder now, running 14th. They've won 5 from 19. I think they've won 2 games at home from 10. Adam O'Brien, I believe, has another 2 years remaining on his existing contract. What's his future?
I think the Knights are about where, well, that's where I thought they'd finish. And I'm not saying it's a good result. I just don't think it's that surprising. I think their roster is really imbalanced. A lot of their money's in their forwards, who are unfortunately ageing. Now, you could see that David Clemmer was making moves to try and leave yesterday. Obviously, he can't be that happy there. I don't think they've got a lot of value out of their forwards and out of their big purchases. I still don't think your man, Kalen Ponga, Bulldog, has really delivered for them to the extent that he should have. He plays better for Queensland than for Newcastle. And I think that their roster is a big issue. And I was really perplexed with what Adam O'Brien said. He's a smart man. But then to suddenly put himself separate to the team results by saying that he had been to 4 grand finals. Well, that's basically saying, well, look, I'm good enough. You guys aren't. That to me was separation. And that is alarm bells. That is real alarm bells for
he's feeling the pressure, Denny.
Yeah. Well,
he's feeling the pressure.
He wouldn't say that on a Tuesday.
No.
Would he?
No. You're feeling the pressure when you've been beaten. You know that the blowtorch is going to be applied. You know where the angle of the journalists are going to go because of the season you've had, and you've got that well prepared, and you're the one putting it out there. That's just not an off-the-cuff line either.
No, well, Laurie, do you agree he's separating from his team result?
No, I don't. What I think he's done, he's basically reminding everyone in that media conference that, listen, this is what I've done. This is my background. I'm just reminding you that I can do this. I've had a great apprenticeship. So even though you might want to take me down the road of I'm not good enough, my time is up here in Newcastle, and you think I can't do the job, he's sort of reinforcing the fact that I've done an apprenticeship. I know how to get us out of this place.
That's where
he's coming from.
That must make the players feel like they are the ones who are failing.
Well, when are the players going to take accountability? We say this all the time with coaches. You know, the coach can only do so much, but the players at some stage, regardless of whether you like the coach or not, you've got to go out there and put in a strong personal performance that you can be proud of, your fans can be proud of, and when you walk off the field, you know you've done your job.
But, Laurie, Adam O'Brien, like by quoting the four grand finals or whatever he said, right, there are other people involved in those four grand finals, like the head coaches. You know, they had a role.
Yep.
It wasn't just Adam O'Brien getting them there. And I'm not coming down on Adam, but I just think it was a wrong thing to say. I think that he has separated himself. I think he's almost put himself above his team in a way. And said, "I'm a good enough coach. You guys aren't good enough players," and that may be the case.
Yeah. See, I see it the other way. I see it as him just reinforcing to the media, because I think he thought that the narrative out of this press conference and where it was going to go was that you want me out of a job, and that's the line that's going to be coming. So he wanted to reinforce to the media that, hey, listen, I know what it takes. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I think that's the way he would have been approaching it rather than separating himself. And when you look at it, yes, you can understand how that looks, but I think in his own mind, that's what he was thinking it was going to play out.
I saw Buzz said something that he reckons that Adam O'Brien's got 6 weeks next season to prove himself. Well, how is that healthy going into if Adam's agreeing with that, what Buzz said, how is that healthy going into next year? So he's got a whole off season where he's got to find a halfback. He's got to get Kalen Ponga firing. He's got to turn the pack into to players that are earning their keep, and he reckons he might only have 6 weeks next year to do it all. A player's going to respect him.
Well, he's got a target on his back straight away.
Oh, mate, it's very difficult.
Can I ask you, mate, you said there before about Clemmer wanting to leave Newcastle. Why wouldn't Newcastle allow that to happen when he takes up a fair chunk of their salary cap and it is an ageing roster and they probably need a bit of a shake-up? Why wouldn't they have allowed that to happen?
Don't know. Well, it was going around yesterday that he was being linked to Parramatta. I don't know why in the end it didn't happen. I think there was some push for him to get an extended deal at Parramatta. Bulldog, you might know more of that. But clearly there is some appetite for him not to be there. Mm. And he's actually played all right this year.
Yeah, I think he has too. But I'm just thinking, well, if they need to change their roster, if they moved Clem on, Clem gets another contract at Parramatta, and they free up salary cap space to go and grab a halfback that they're looking for.
Who are they going to get as a halfback, Laurie?
Well, I think a guy like Luke Brooks. I know Shenzi said he mightn't release him, but, Shenzi's also said he's on way too much money. Think that they could work with him. I heard Joey saying that he'd love to get his hands on him. I'm assuming Joey's still the attack coach up there, is he?
I think so, yeah. So, Laurie, would you so you're Adam, right, and you've agreed that you've probably got 6 weeks to turn your career around.
Yeah.
Do you base it on Luke Brooks potentially coming there?
Well, I think he's going to do something different. If he doesn't do anything different, he's going to get the same result. And if you're talking about making decisions on salary cap management, sometimes you've got to let the big dogs go, the works on the highest price, and move them on and get something for them and try and rejuvenate your squad or regenerate your squad with different faces in different positions of better quality.
What it says, though, like we're clutching at straws for Adam. I mean, imagine how he's feeling, given that, you know, I think they've finished about where their roster is, and I don't know if there's going to be any huge improvements to it. And, you know, if they're chasing Luke Brooks, well, in theory, that could be good. But it's not a lock. It's not a lock that he's going to turn them around. It's just, it feels like the pressure's mounting, and I know he's got a contract there, and we all know, you know, that he's done stuff in the past as an assistant, and he's got Newcastle the finals a couple of times.
It might be a Jackson Hastings. I don't know. I'm just sort of throwing it out there. But
you're tossing some tigers up. Did that lunch with Sheens, he give you some insight, did it, Laurie?
No, he just told me how he was keen to sign these players, but I know that he's keen to play a brand of football that he believes will win competitions and adapt to today's game. Mm-hmm. And that's the way they're going to manage their roster.
Sounds like 05.
Well, he's an attacking coach. Put it that way, Tim Sheens.
Did he offer you a gig, Laurie?
No gig was on the table for me, Denny.
Are you sure?
I'm too busy. Stop digging and trying to dig up a story, Denny.
You could coach him from the leafy North Shore. Just phone in, Zoom a few.
Oh, you could Zoom. I'd be a Zoom coach. There you go. If I could coach over Zoom.
You'd be muted all the time. Have to leave it there, Denny. Thanks so much, mate.
Thank you.